one of the things I love about studying the Course in Miracles is that it has its own definition of all the terms. And what usually makes it difficult for most people is that they take the definitions that they've already learned in the past and from the world, and then they try to impress that or project that on the Course in Miracles, and then it upsets them, and it doesn't make sense. So, like the instance, it describes peace as complete fulfillment, and it calls the world a false perception. So when the Course in Miracles is talking about the world, it's really talking about your perception of the world, because the Course works at the mind level. And I've really emphasized that this year, is that the Course has only one purpose, and that's for us to achieve peace of mind. And then it says when we achieve peace of mind, then we're able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is our own inner guidance. And when it talks about the world, it's talking about our perception. So when it says how is peace possible in this world, it's really talking about how is peace possible in our perception of the world. And when you look at it as perception, then a lot of the stuff that it says that seems impossible doesn't seem so impossible. Like when it says stuff like, you can change the world. If you hear you can change your perception, that sounds more feasible. You know, if you hear you can change your false perception, that sounds a lot more feasible. So just keep in mind that it's only talking about our perception, and it's talking about our thoughts. And then when we go back through this, it'll make a lot more sense. Like he says in the first paragraph, how is peace possible in this world? This is a question everyone must ask. Certainly peace seems to be impossible here, but the Word of God promises other things that seems to be impossible. When we listen to the Course, he says the Course is always saying stuff that seems to be impossible, like that there can be nothing but complete peace here, or telling us that we don't die, or telling us that resurrection will occur, or when it tells us that we are reborn, that we don't die. He says that seems impossible based on what we've heard. He says the world you see cannot be the world that God loves. So the Course is saying the world that the false perception that we see could not possibly be the world that the loving man, which of course describes God as love, sees. So the world that I see believing in fear couldn't possibly be the world that a loving man would see, only seeing and believing love. And so he says, then he turns around and says, but the Course keeps assuring us that our Creator loves the world and that peace is possible here. So we have to make a choice, which is either the Creator is right or we are right. Because the Creator is saying something different from what the average person believes. So we got to kind of make a choice. Okay, if there is only peace, if there is no death, if there is only rebirth, then obviously the Creator is seeing something that I don't see. And so if the Creator says that it's possible, though, I have to go with that. I have to say, well, if the Creator says it's possible, then it must be possible. And then the next thing the Course always tells you is exactly what to do to start moving in that direction. Like it says in the very next sentence, but it is true that the world must be looked at differently if his promises are to be accepted. So if I'm going to see the love that the Course promises, then my function is to learn how to look at the world differently. My function is to learn how to perceive differently. And the Course defines perception as interpretation. That's another really important little point. That when he says perception, he's talking about interpretation. So that's the same as saying, if I'm going to see things in a loving way, then I have to interpret things differently. And as an example, I had a situation that came up for me yesterday that I made myself angry about. And I always like to preface it like that. I made myself angry. It's funny, when I was telling a friend of mine about that, one of the comments that I got was, which is a comment that I get a lot, which is, it's almost like the person was glad to see that I was upset, because to them it proved to them that I was human. And they would say, you know, say, well, I'm glad to see you got a human streak. And that's funny, because why is it that we are only being human when we're upset? Like soon as there's anything that has to do with fear or upset, then we're being human. But very seldom will you hear that when you're being peaceful and loving. But the minute you do something that's, you know. And the other thing that was interesting about that was that I'd never claim to not get angry. I've never claimed not to have an ego. I said it in my classes all the time, that I teach it because I'm the main one that wants to learn it, and that I have go through the same thing anybody else do. If anybody can come here for any length of time, they'll hear me say that over and over again. But when a person sees that side of me, they're shocked. Even though I've said, you know, well, I got an ego too. I wouldn't be here. If I didn't have an ego, that'd be my ticket out. Right? So the only difference I can see, though, between me and, let's say, a person who hasn't been in the course longer, is that when my ego does come up, I immediately go to the truth and try to use the truth to resolve the situation, rather than try to use the tactics that the world usually teaches us to use, which is attack, projection, and blame. That's the only difference. You know, I get mad, I go to the course. The average person gets mad, they go to their ego. They just let the ego tell them to get mad and mad and mad. Sometimes you can get so upset that you can't stop yourself, you know. And then when you can't stop yourself, like the initial reaction I had, it was too intense for me to stop myself. So I reacted instead of acted. But as soon as I made myself calm, then I was able to start hearing the truth. As soon as I made myself calm, then the truth started coming through. And when the truth started coming through, what it started to do was, which is the thing I love about studying it so long, is it immediately started referencing things in the book that applied to what I was going through. That's the advantage to me of studying the book, because all of a sudden it'll go, you know, appreciate the good efforts, overlook the mistakes. It's a call for love. You know, forgiveness is the key to happiness. There's no solution you can come up to with this situation that's more easy than forgiveness. Anything else is going to cause you to have to work harder, do more. It was the truth. Any other solution, if every solution my ego came up with was a solution that would have only prolonged the situation or made my life more complicated. Everything the spirit told me was something that could nip it in the bud right then, and then allow me to immediately move on. Okay, my ego, because I was an innocent victim, I had nothing to do with this unwarranted attack. Yeah, you know what I mean, don't you, Abby? So, in some situations, it just really looks that way. It just looks like you hadn't, it was totally an unprovoked, it looked like an unprovoked reaction. But the first thing, it was funny because my lesson had to do with, I'm never upset for the reason I think, and I don't see anything as it is now. So spirit immediately said, well, first of all, that person probably wasn't upset about what they were acting like they were upset about, because the reaction was way out of proportion to what the situation was. That's one way you can always tell. When you're seeing somebody react way out of proportion to what really came down, you're pretty much assured that that didn't have anything to do with what was going on. So, and it was a call for love. And the thing I liked the most, though, was that my right mind told me that It pointed to all the really wonderful, beautiful things that I had experienced with that person, mm-hmm. other than the one thing that we were trying to use for separation, which, by the way, was the only time we'd had any kind of separation in the time that we had known each other. What used to happen was that no matter how nice or how cool the relationship had been with the person, the minute the ego come up, it wipes out all of that. The thing you're upset about becomes the only thing that's important, and then you use it to separate. Anybody familiar with that process? It's almost like y'all have never done anything cool. The only thing that's real is the illusion that you're having with each other right now. So again, I was glad to see my mind just throw these pictures up without me having to make myself think of them. The course talks about how when you do it long enough and you let yourself remember long enough, then he says your mind will start to correct your errors automatically. And sort of like when I took karate and they had to do all these things they call forms, and you just stand up and you do this and you do that and you move. And the purpose of it was that if you ever were attacked, it would be so programmed in you that even without thinking, you just do what was necessary to defend you. It wasn't a conscious process. And I realize that's exactly what the Course is doing. It's saying the same things to us over and over and over and over and over in a million different ways. So that at some point your mind will just automatically think those thoughts when the situations come up. And that's what's happening with me. And that's really cool. So anyway, so the first thing I did when I woke up was send an email. And the first thing I said in the email was, let's just wipe out yesterday. You know, let's just wipe yesterday out. Because our relationship is too important to allow it to be threatened by something that was so really minor. Now, let's go forward. Then I pointed out things I was grateful for, things that I appreciated, and let the person know I was willing to release it and go forward. Now, fortunately, the relationship was valuable enough, and the person also wanted to join enough that, you know, as soon as they got up, because I got up really early, so as soon as they got up and they saw it, bam, I got an email back with, yeah, well, yeah, you're right. You know, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's move forward. Let's join. So then all of a sudden it was over. The whole thing was over. You know, I took responsibility for what my part. They took responsibility for their part. Now we move on. That was easier than anything that I could have come up with other than that. But the key thing, there were two key things though. We both wanted to join and we both didn't want to separate. Now, had the person wanted to stay separate, then what would I do? Well, if the person wanted to stay separate, then I would just be willing to join if they changed their mind at some point. But in the meantime, I'm through with it. I've forgiven, I'm moving on. And that's it. Because I don't have to wait around until the other person decides that they want to have peace too. That's their free will. So had that person wanted to still remain angry, then I would still have released that, honored that, and then did whatever the Holy Spirit told me to do as an alternative to handle what needed to be handled that we were working on. So to me, that's a practical application of the Course. Because forgiveness means release. It means let it go. And so if a person wants to separate from you, they're going to use anything they can to justify it. So the decision to separate comes before the justification. First I decide I don't want to be around you, and then I come up with reasons why not to. Or I decide I want to be around you, and then I'll come up with reasons as to why I want to be around you. So the forgiveness happened within my perception, just like he said here. It is true that it had to be looked at differently. Had I looked at it the way I've been taught by my ego, we'd still be in separation right now. Because I would want to be right. You know, because I was the innocent victim, right? But at the same time, I realized that Course says, it's a line in it that goes, whoever is saner at the moment should remember how great their indebtedness is to the other person and then be glad that they have an opportunity to pay my debt. In other words, if that person was in fear, then but I've also experienced love with that person, well then this was my opportunity to pay a debt of love by giving them love when they were obviously in fear, because that's all anger is. And so, again, that was a practical application of the Course, as opposed to, well, I don't deserve, you know, the ego stuff. So therefore, I had a chance to see the world that the Course just described. In other words, so now I'm seeing, having a perception of that person that corresponds with what the Course is saying, which is a peaceful perception. Okay, is everybody with me on that one? Okay, so when those situations come up, you're going to do one or two things. You're either going to remember the truth, practice it, keep your peace, even when it looks like you're being attacked. Or you're going to react to the attack and attack. Now, if I had not changed my mind, and that person had not changed their mind, then we would both be separate, but we would both be calling for love. Which means that would have been my call for love. right? So the court says, in that case, I need to see myself as the patient. Because then, if I'm still mad at you, then I'm the patient. So what do? Then as soon as possible, I go get my book and study and meditate and read because I'm sick. Why? Because I'm still holding the grievance. At that point, it wouldn't have had anything to do with trying to contact the other person. First of all, I didn't need to contact them as long as I was still feeling that desire to attack, because people pick up the energy behind what you say more than the words that you use. That's why sometimes people say, well, I'm trying to practice the course, and I went and I tried to talk to my mama who I had a grievance with for 20 years, and she still attacked me. You know, and in a lot of cases, it really wasn't sincere. They were still holding the grievance, but they need to be given credit for at least making the attempt. Okay, so he says the world must be looked at differently if God's promises are to be accepted. What the world is but a fact. You cannot choose what this should be, but you can choose, again, how you would see it. And he says, indeed, you must choose what? How you will see it. I had to choose how I was going to see that person. I had to choose whether I was going to see that person as separate from me or I was going to see that person as joined with me. Sometimes when people have what they think of as a separation and they want to process or they want to talk about it, the first thing I'll ask the person is, do you want to join or do you want to separate? Because if you want to separate, let's not even waste each other's time by all this processing, because we're going to end up talking 3 or 4 hours and still we're going to be mad at each other. Are you talking to me because you want us to have peace together, or are you talking to me because you want me to say I'm wrong? Do you want to be right? Do you want to be happy? It's what it always comes down to, because I've never seen two people who really want to join and have peace who have not been able to do it. Never, 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 never. Have you? In your own experience, if both of you want peace with each other, you have it, because that goal will create the way to achieve it. Just because you all want it, you're going to come up with the ways for you to have it. But somebody who wants to be separate, there's nothing you can say that's going to change their mind. As a matter of fact, everything you say, they'll use it for further justification for separation. So it boils down to me choosing how I wanted to see it. Because I'm in the lab. That's what the world is. If I'm not going to practice it here, where am I going to learn it? And then I'm so blessed because I get so many opportunities here to see if I can forgive. Don't you all? Just all this opportunity after opportunity. You know, we were sincere when we decided to incarnate in this illusion that we're having. So any comments, anybody want to ask questions or just share their points? I love on Wednesday to open it up to sharing and discussion.
So you find your time, your turnaround time from disagreements or separation quicker now?
It's really quicker. And one good thing about getting older and knowing that my time in the body here is limited, it's not like I can't see the other side of the breeze now. Because I don't have time for grievances.
Yeah.
I don't. When I was younger, I could afford to be mad at somebody for weeks and months and all that kind of stuff. Because it's like you had this endless amount of time in the body. But I don't see it that way now. I believe I have an eternal nature, but I don't believe I have an eternal nature in the body. And so I try to turn it around as quick as I pop. Plus, I've also been spoiled by another thing that happens, is that usually if I can forgive, I always receive a gift, and it usually comes through the person that I thought I had the grievance with.
Yeah.
I've seen it over. I've seen it so many times that almost my mind goes, here's an opportunity for a gift, which is really different. You know, that's a really different way to look at it. You know, it's like, but when I get mad, it's like, if I'm mad, I'm mad. It doesn't happen as much. It happens less and less and less. But what I notice is that when I'm in my ego, it feels just like any other time I'm in my ego, when it used to happen all day long. So I don't fight that. You know, it's like, okay, I'm mad. You know, that's what I told them. I said, I'm really mad. You know. But I don't like the way it feels. I don't like the way it feels. I don't like the way it makes me feel. So again, the Course in Miracles uses the law of self-preservation to free us. I like the way it takes everything we believe and uses it to our advantage. Like, people would do things to take care of themselves usually faster than they do things to take care of other people. Right? So what if the book taught you that to forgive was the best way to take care of yourself? All of a sudden, strategic. So all of a sudden, your own desire for self-preservation would make you start choosing to let go of grievances. Like, I didn't want to. See, I know that grievances bring sickness. They bring lack. They attract attack. It attracts accidents. I don't want to make anybody important enough to endanger myself. So I wanted to let it go just for my own safety as well as the peace of the other person. And if I can't pull it off, that's my call for love. And I'll certainly get another opportunity. And if I can't forgive, I'll certainly get another opportunity with that person. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'll get an endless opportunity with them. As long as I don't forgive them. And I love knowing that forgiveness is just another way of looking at it. So it doesn't have anything to do with that other person. Like, to forgive that other person did not have anything to do with them forgiving me. And I used to believe that forgiveness hadn't happened until me and you have lunch together after we've had a, you know what I'm saying, until we can sit down and we like each other and we discuss and things. You know, it's like that's why a lot of people don't want to forgive. They think to forgive their ex-husband means they have to go out to dinner with them or something. You know what I'm saying? So they don't want to forgive because they really think it means they got to hang out with the person.
You don't even need to talk to them, communicate with them. Mm-mm.
Totally.
Whatever you want to call it.
That's right. That's right. That, to me, that's the good news, is that the whole thing is an internal matter. It's all internal. Yeah.
I like chapter 30, but practicing is one thing, doing it is another. Giving decision, not to make a decision by myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I've been practicing that. And it's letting go and waiting for that. Lee Coy talks about second voice. Listen for the second voice, because the first one usually gets me in trouble. Especially if I'm in that place where you're talking about ready to react,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I've been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And then just pause and say, wait a minute, you know, and if I can get that, count to 10 or something in that period. So it's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge. And lately it's been fear for me.
What has been fear?
My situation of letting go and not deciding. I mean, I'm deciding for fear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making my decision by myself without including the Holy Spirit.
There you go.
You know, and that's been my past. So it's just repeating itself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm seeing a lot of things that I didn't see before.
Hallelujah. Me too.
I mean, it's like uncovering, you know, each year is uncovering another layer of the onion, you know.
And the onion does end.
Oh, I hope.
It does. There is no immortal onion. So the layers aren't infinite. You know, remember that. Whenever you get to thinking that, just actually think about an onion and you'll see that's true. That the layers aren't infinite. And that what's funny, though, is that, you know, you all probably have peeled a lot more away than you possibly could even imagine to give yourself credit for, to even be sitting here discussing this together. You know what I'm saying? It means that you've done that. The Holy Spirit, of course, says it's the loving right mind. And sometimes when I say go to the Holy Spirit, that can sound abstract to people. But if you say go to your loving right mind, it doesn't sound as abstract. Because if you say, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, which means I'm going to ask my loving thoughts, you know your loving thought is not going to tell you to attack that person. You know that. So to say you're going to your loving thought for guidance is automatically going to take away the desire to harm. You can't go to your loving thought and say, the loving thought told me to go blow him away. You know, your loving thought is not going to tell you that. Your loving mind isn't going to tell you that. So going to the Holy Spirit just means going to your real self. You know, the ego, when I first read the Course, everything it said about the ego, I swore it was talking about me. And if you read in the book at first, it'll seem like that. It'll talk about the characteristics of the ego, and you'll probably recognize where you do mostly everything it says that the ego does. And then when you get, after a certain point, you realize you are the Holy Spirit. That really your real identity is the Holy Spirit. And who you really are is that loving being that it's talking about, and not the ego. But at the beginning, the ego seems like it's what's real, and the Holy Spirit seems like it's what's some kind of a fantasy.
Because that's what we identify
with. That's what we identify with, exactly. That's right. And then after a while, you do the workbook and you really work with it for a while, then you start seeing that the loving self is the one that you start identifying with. It'll be your ego that you'll be looking at as that's an image that's not really you. And it's a gradual transition, but when it happens, you want to go hallelujah. That's what's happened with me with my ego. It's like, okay, that's my ego. That's what I realized. Oh, okay, that was my ego. So I definitely don't want to stay with that, because I know what it brings me. You know, I've been around long enough. You know, anybody else? We go to the next paragraph. I don't care how far we get.
Something was just said. I don't know your name, but
Will.
Let's say our name, so we won't be such mysteries to each other.
Okay.
I'm Earl. What's your name?
What?
What's your name?
Howard. I'm Chuck.
Chuck.
John. Patty. Rochelle. Ann. Mary. Abby.
Will.
Doug.
Karen. Trish.
Susan.
Tim.
Keith.
Okay, everybody ready to name everybody? I'm telling you. It's great to see you. I'm telling you. You will get ready to see.
Will brought up something I was struggling with is if I didn't make a decision, I mean, it just hung there.
Uh-huh.
And I believe Will just said it's fear, or those words were very close together, and it just kind of went off my head. I was talking about fear more than anything else. And it's just...
I love reducing it to love or fear. That's what I've done, and it's just simplified my life so much. You know, the course reduces everything to love and fear, and it took me a while to get that it was to my advantage if I just did it that way, because I wanted to feel more feelings than that. So I feel more than love and fear. I feel anxiety, and I feel joy, and I feel, you know, so well, that's love. Anger, I was mad. Well, that's fear. You know, it's like, and that's what I need to get. That we became afraid yesterday. And we acted out of fear. And if you look at it as acting out of fear, it's easier to forgive. I don't want you to be afraid of me. I don't want to be afraid of you. Most people don't want people to be afraid of them. So if you could transform anger into fear, it would change your reaction to what's happening in front of you. Men as a whole in our society, it's not acceptable for a man to go. So men usually, when they're afraid, go. They go even more into the anger, and they go more into the attack, because it's not okay for them to show vulnerability. So I think that sucks.
Yeah. Anger seems to be going out.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is more.
Mm-hmm.
Looking
at
straight
to
anger, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see what I'm saying? Same thing. Yeah, give me some anger. Yeah.
If that situation with a relationship happens continually over and over and over again on a daily almost basis,
mm-hmm.
is that just a bigger lesson for you or me to? I need to learn that. Even more so?
Yes, you need to learn it, but you don't have to necessarily stay in that situation to learn it. Sometimes you can forgive a person faster when you have an opportunity to have some space. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes the perception that you both have of each other is so distorted that you can't get past it. And so you need to get back off of each other. So, because the same lesson, whatever the lesson is, it can be learned in a variety of ways with a variety of people. And once you learn the truth, once you really get it, you'll automatically start applying it to everybody anyway. So if you can get to the point that you can practice it anywhere, eventually you'll be able to practice with that person. But sometimes you can have what the Course calls a second level relationship, which is where two people come together, learn as much as they can from each other at the time, he says, and appear to separate. And then he talks about how every relationship is destined to become holy, so it's not a matter of whether you're going to eventually forgive each other. We all are. But some relationships, you're not meant to stay together on the physical level past a certain point. And so a lot of people say, well, how can you tell? You know, well, one of the ways you can tell is that, it was just like what you said, if the anger and the fear and the attack is getting more and more and more and more and more, in spite of your best efforts, that might be time for you to look at whether or not you might need to try another way of dealing with it. You know, if the other person is open to change with you, then, and you both know you got issues, but you really sincerely want to go past them, then to me, that would call for more, being willing to make more of a commitment to stick in there. But you're sticking in there because the other person wants to join too, which is different from sticking in there when you're the only one that wants to change.
Right.
That's two different things. Like I've seen people take the Course in Miracles and other truth teachers, and then let their ego tell them, use it as an excuse to stay in an abusive situation. They'll tell themselves stuff like, well, I got to learn this, so I just wear learning with this person right here, because if I go somewhere else, I'm going to have to learn the same lesson.
That's exactly what my thought system has done.
Yeah, and it's like, but it's you know.
Sticking the sharp needle in my eye.
Yeah, because I'm going to have to learn how to not stick it in my eye, why don't I just go and use the same needle, you know what I'm saying. But that, to me, sounds like the ego. Yes, that, to me that sounds like self-punishment. That, again, that's different. Like you said, what about with your children or whatever? And I always say, you know, with your children and stuff like that, well, you just do the best you can. You can't abandon them. But, you know, if you're dealing with another adult, you're definitely in that relationship by choice.
Right.
You know, but if you're dealing with your child, and that's a karmic lesson you chose to deal with. And so you're going to deal with that until, you know, they're a legal age. So to me, if you set up a situation like that where you more or less got to deal with the person, whether you want to or not, then that looks to me like that's what the Course calls a third level relationship, which is a lifelong relationship. He says, and that's a relationship that you give each other, he says, endless opportunities to learn. And so that's what that is. You know, it's like your child is giving you the opportunity over and over and over and over and over and over again to see it differently. But but they're not outside the laws of God. So what I found, they're really not. And so what I found, especially with, you know, like when I first got into the Course, my daughter was 9, and my son was like 7, you know. So I also had the opportunity of taking this and dealing with teenagers and the whole thing also. But what I saw was the same thing I saw with my friend, which was when I applied the Course with my children from within me. Not to expect them to understand it, but from within me, I had a phenomenally harmonious, easy relationship with my children as far as discipline and all that kind of stuff is concerned. And even though we had very different perceptions of reality. So all I've seen in 25 years of studying this is every time I apply it as opposed to analyze it and philosophize about it, I get a result. If I analyze it and philosophize about it, I get frustrated. Nothing changes.
I get myself confused.
That's how you can tell the people who are applying it versus the people who are analyzing it. The analyzers are disoriented and confused. Nothing changes. The applicators are going, I just had a miracle happen yesterday. Let me tell you about it. You know, and both are innocent. But that's how you know which camp you're falling in.
Earl,
because
I get in that whole analyzing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm using to get myself out of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bottom line, what appears to be the most loving answer for myself, because I don't know how to choose for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the most loving for me,
mm-hmm,
and for my higher good, mm-hmm, for everyone else.
So great.
I just can't see that. Mm-hmm. I don't have.
Nah, that's a great place to start. I'm with you.
That gets me out of
the
whole
you.
Confusion.
I'm with you.
Right? Because I keep thinking I have to get the right answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I'm with you. That's what I did. This is what you just said. It was a form of what I did. I went, you know, hey, what's going to give me the most peace? Well, I didn't like the way I felt. I didn't sleep well. And I knew I didn't want to keep it going. I knew that if it was any way possible that I could end the separation, I wanted to do it immediately. And even if I had to make the first move, which to an ego mind comes off as somehow or another, sometimes you've admitted you're the one that sees yourself as being wrong. They don't realize that you're coming from the bigger place if you're the one that's willing to offer the opportunity for love. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's like, who wants peace the most? I just wanted peace. You know. And then I came to find out that there were a lot of things going on other than what happened with me. Just like Holy Spirit told me. It was like, oh, okay. I was just the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This was the last straw. But but I wasn't the whole pile of straws. But since you're the last straw, you're the one who look like it. So everybody react to you as if you are the straw. You know. Okay. All right, let's see if we can hit another paragraph. Good. We had 12:42. He says, again, we come to the question of judgment. He says, this time ask yourself whether your judgment or the word of God is more likely to be true. We'll get back on that, right? He says, because your judgment and the word of God say different things about the world, things so opposite that it's pointless to try to reconcile it. So that's a good point, too. He says, stop trying to reconcile what the world teaches and what the course teaches.
Because
that's when everybody gets confused. You know what the world says? Da 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 da. The world says that your financial situation is dependent on the socioeconomic conditions and the way you were brought up. The truth says you are sustained by the love of God. The world says there is no cure for leukemia. God says, you know, there's no such thing as something that can't be healed by God. So he says, stop trying to reconcile those two things. They're not going to match.
I keep going to try to make sense out of insanity.
Yeah.
And that's where I get crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't like the feeling I get, and I know I'm an ego, and that creates the fear,
mm-hmm.
which isn't even real. Fear
mm-hmm.
isn't even real. It's something
mm-hmm.
I'm experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
I just know it's not very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I had a problem with myself. It was the communication, it was the relationship with myself that I'm dealing with. And
mm-hmm.
that's making it even more personal, because it wasn't anger, it was all fear. And not trusting my own judgment, my own decision.
And you know, sometimes people say, oh, how can I tell it's the ego? It's like, and it's right, and they really be sincere. They're very sincere about that. How can I tell if it's my ego? And I remember when I used to be like, how can I tell whether it's the ego? How do you feel?
Right.
Yeah. It's really just that, well, it could be the ego, and I'm feeling really good about smacking that person upside the head. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, so no, not really. If you're really honest with yourself, you don't feel good about attacking somebody. And if you do, it's just momentary, and then you feel drained afterwards. It's never a lasting, satisfying feeling. You know?
But it sounds good at the moment.
Because the ego is a part, the separated self, which I like to call it that, the separated self feeds off of fear. Fear is the food of the ego. The course says peace is threat to the ego. Because that undoes it. Every time you're happy, you're undoing your ego. Every time you're in a loving relationship, or a state of gratitude or abundance, you're actually undoing your ego. So because it makes you want to join. When you're happy and you're feeling good, you want to connect. You know what I mean? And the ego is the opposite of union. So the course is trying to get us to understand that the ego thought system is centered on fear, and it has ingenious ways to keep us feeling afraid all the time so that we'll stay in our separated identity. And so that means that the ego actually feels uneasy in the presence of love and peace. Mm-hmm. That's why so many people say, oh, well, you know, it's good to see that you are a human. See, the ego feels, it made the ego feel peaceful to think I attacked. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? You go, oh, I can relax. Girl, just like your back. See, the ego loves attack. It loves the idea of attack. And so it was actually feeling separate from me, thinking I'm a peaceful person. You know what I'm saying? It's like the ego needed to see me be angry.
You've
all had those experiences where somebody messed with you until you lost it, and then you could tell that when you lost it, they felt better. It's weird. It's really weird. It's like they want to see you angry and upset, and if you keep on trying to be peaceful, then they actually get more upset. You know,
right.
So that's the ego. That's how you can always tell when you're in the presence of an ego. An ego mind is always trying to gouge you into separation and attack. And a loving mind is always trying to, what can we do to not attack? It's really that simple. It's deep, man. I love how simple the truth is and how direct it is. It says in the next sentence, he says, God offers the world salvation. Your judgment would condemn it. And he means our ego judgment. He says, God says there is no death. The average person says, are you out of your mind? Death is the inevitable end of life. We're gonna. What can we count on? Death and taxes. You know, you hear people say that all the time. The one thing you can be sure of, the one equalizer in this world is death. You know, and the course says, well, he says that he loves the world. Your word, your judgment says it's unlovable. Who's right? One of you is wrong. So that paragraph is over and over again is asking us to do what? Make a decision. Is the truth true or what the world teaches me true? That's the decision the second paragraph is asking us to make. Yeah. That we gotta make a, you gotta take a stand. You gotta go, love is the only reality for me, even though I see other things beside love, even though I think I feel other things beside love, even though it can look like I'm in an insane world, I'm gonna take the stand that love is real, and somehow or another there's something I'm doing that's keeping me from seeing it and experiencing it, and I'm willing to learn how to let those blocks go. But I'm gonna claim that it's real, even if in a world that it looks like it's not real in. That what God tells me is right. If God tells me there's a way, or the Creator tells me that there's a way to only experience love, then I'm going to go with the Creator as opposed to what my past experience and people around me and the newspaper and all that stuff is telling me. I got to take a stand. And thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's so, the more I try to practice this, and the more I can put myself in the observer instead of reacting,
mm-hmm.
It's fascinating. And even watching TV is just fun to watch the thought system play out. I'm saying to myself, how could I have not seen the ridiculousness and the lose-lose of this ego thought system that I accepted without questioning before?
I'm laughing in the observer, and now I'm
finally getting at the stage recently where I can forgive myself when I do react.
If you haven't had a chance to, would love to have you on my mailing list to let you know about some stuff. But that's how you know your mind has changed, though.
It's mine.
Because I went to a place I couldn't watch the news. I wouldn't watch the news, and I wouldn't watch TV and all this other stuff. And now I can, though I can't. It's not like I got to do it one or the other, and if I couldn't possibly be spiritual and watch Boston Legal, you know. But, because I see people make all those kind of judgments. But everybody's got their own personal illusions that they like, but they didn't turn around and judge somebody else's. Because my illusion is more conscious than your illusion. I'm on a higher level of consciousness than you are. I don't watch TV, although I'm too spiritual to watch TV. And so that may be true for some people, but they just might be afraid and in denial and think that if they don't look at something, somehow or another it makes it not be there. Something like, you know, seeing a train coming and then turning your back to it, pretending that it's not there. You know, a lot of people who say they're doing truth, that's the way they approach it, but they really think they're on another level of consciousness. But what they really are is just afraid. But what you'll see, if you look at it through your right mind, what you'll see is a play. And what you're seeing in the play is the ego play. And you get a chance to see exactly how the ego operates, being acted out for you to see, and all its different ingenious invented games to make you forget you're a child of God.
And I wrote the script. We wrote the script.
So you go to the movie, you find yourself looking at a movie, and all of a sudden you'll be looking at the movie and you'll be seeing exactly what's going on, that's the ego, and exactly what's going on, that's spiritual. You watch yourself using everything in your life to remind you of the truth instead of using anything in your life to make you more afraid. So I'm not saying that you should watch TV or the news if you don't want to, but I am saying that once your mind is corrected, then you can look at anything. You can be anywhere, and you'll have peace. You won't have to avoid anything. But when you're first trying to get rooted in your new truth, it is best sometimes to separate yourself from the past long enough to become rooted in your new thought system. That's what I used to know about all my friends who became born-again Christians. You know, the first thing they would do is they would separate themselves from everybody and everything that reminded them of the way they used to be before they became born again, which was really a pretty smart move, because then you get a chance to get your whole thought system infused with people of a like mind until you get to the point that you're strong enough in the belief that you can be around other people. And you can tell, you can always tell when somebody doesn't believe something because they're busy trying to convince you. So a person that's a true Christian usually isn't trying to convert anybody. The person that's trying to convince themselves about what the Bible is teaching is usually the one that's trying to convince everybody else and condemning everybody else, because they're really trying to convince themselves about it. The same thing about the Course. It's like the more you learn it, the less you feel a need to convince anybody else about it. And also in the beginning when you're first studying the Course is when you meet the most opposition, because the people around you are reflecting your own doubts about this new thing that you're trying. So that's why at the very beginning it'll seem like people challenge you more about your beliefs, because they're really reflecting back to you your own doubts about it yourself, because you're not firm in it yet. The firmer you become in it, the more they'll drop away. I can't even remember the last time somebody got into, you would think doing what I do, I would always be dealing with people talking about another way of looking at it, or telling me how I'm wrong or how this isn't true. It's been years, literally. Years. Because I'm not trying to convert anybody. I'm okay with it. I accepted it for myself. But if you find yourself meeting a lot of opposition, it's just that you haven't become firm in it yet. And so they're reflecting back your own doubts. So don't even get caught up in them. Just go, oh, okay, I still got some accepting to do. Because they're mirroring back to me my own doubt. And so don't get caught up in it. Okay, I'm going to stop here and do the love offering and announcements, and then I'm going to hit one or two points to take out into the dream world that we're going into. Thank you. Thank you so much for your donations and your sharing. It keeps us here. It's also how I earn a living in the world of teaching the Course. So I appreciate you all's generosity. We've been having some. If the streets are all icy and messed up and snowy, I won't be here on Sunday. Okay, I'm gonna tell you, if it's not fit for man nor beast, I will not be here. But I'm divine. But my body is fragile, and my car is even more fragile than my body. So. Yeah. And you'll know, because they'll be saying it's ridiculous outside. Try to pretend like if it wasn't happening. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Yeah, I know. He was so moved by what he heard that he wanted me to do a class for some friends of his. And I said, okay. And so, little did I know that he was going to fly me to New York. And he was a very wealthy man who knew the president of this record company, so they had me speak in this club that Liza Minnelli was singing at on Times Square with a full choir behind me with a spotlight for some of his millionaire friends that he wanted to become aware of the Course in Miracles. Needless to say, I had a good time. But
it's, what is the fear?
But that's what I'm saying. You never know. I never would. I mean, looking at him, I wouldn't have had any idea. Think about how many times people lose because they judge by appearances. Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You don't ever know. You know. But this has been quite a 25-year adventure. I could tell y'all some stories that would freak you out. But it's been really loving, and I feel real good about what we have here and what's happening this year. The people that have been coming to the class, I feel their commitment and their dedication at a whole new level, and an openness. You can be in a room and you can feel resistance, and you can be in a room and you can feel openness. It wants clarification, but it's not like they got a big wall up. And that's what it feels here. It just feels really relaxed and beautiful and warm. So what I'd like to do is end today's class on a little prayer. So let's close our eyes just for a second. The Course in Miracles says that one of the most powerful prayers that you can say is this: I ask to be able to recognize what I already have. And so I'd like to take this moment to ask for all of us to be able to recognize all of the joy, all of the abundance, all of the love, all of the health, all of the union, all of the spirit, all of the support, all of the joy, all of the fun, all of the safety, all of the security, all of the divinity that we already have. So there. So y'all have a great day out in the lab. I appreciate you. That's what I'm talking about. Hugs are available.
May the course be with you.
May the course be with you.